All right. Well, thanks everyone for coming. Just a quick kind of programming note before we get started. Someone walked in and asked me to just mention that the flyer that they gave you after the keynote this morning was incorrect. That all the existing agenda information other than that flyer is correct. So they just wanted me to mention this really quick before I get started. All right. Enough of that. So I guess let me start by introducing myself. My name is Jason Soos. I'm a principal technical evangelist for the Microsoft Media Platform. So we're a team within Microsoft that, for the most part, works with customers on building large media delivery deployments. So a perfect example of that is the partnership that we've had for the last couple of Olympics with NBC, where we basically engage with them and understand their requirements and then figure out how to deploy our platform to meet those requirements for their media coverage of the Olympics, digital media coverage of the Olympics. Just one quick thing. I've got a really short time slot, so even though we're a pretty small, intimate group, I'd rather that you keep your questions until the end. But the one thing I would note is that there is no session after us, so I'll stick around as long as you want. I just want to be conscious of the people that need to move on to something else, so let's hold our questions. As far as agenda, the one thing I would say is that I'm going to skim through a lot of what the existing video editor is. What I would refer you to is the session that I gave, which was a full hour session last year. So if you want a deeper view of the video editor, you can take a look there. I'm just going to skim through what's available now and then spend more time talking about what we're doing with the video editor in the next version. Before I get started, I just wanted to talk about the Microsoft Media Platform because this is a new brand that we're really talking about for the first time here at MIX. But this is really it's an umbrella term or umbrella brand that we're now using to cover all of our media-related platforms and services. And so you'll see that the video editor is along the bottom there, which is our frameworks that we have available. And basically what these are is a set of open source, free-to-use frameworks that we make available to our community as kind of jump starts onto our platform. So in other words, with the player framework, that's a full Silverlight video player that you can pick up and rapidly deploy, customize a little bit, and be up and running with a Silverlight video player very rapidly. Video editor is along the same thing. Of course, it's a video editor, but it's an open source tool you can pick up and deploy very quickly. So as far as the genesis of the what we now call the video editor, what used to be called the Silverlight Rough Cut Editor, it really emerged out of our work with NBC on the Beijing Olympics. And let me describe a little bit of the motivation, the business motivation. If you think back to the Beijing Olympics, the story of those games was Michael Phelps and all the gold medals that he won. And what NBC needs to do in order to make money off of that is that people learn about him winning gold medals, and they want to come to their site, and they want to see Michael a highlight of him winning that gold medal. With traditional workflows, video workflows, in order for them to get that highlight, you know, go back into their archives, cut that highlight, get it through transcode, and then finally out to the site. It was about an hour-long process during Beijing. And so by the time that they get that clip out into the market, they've lost a lot of their opportunity. People have already come looking for the highlight. It's not there, and they go away. So they came to us with asking us, what can you do to help us with this? How can we get these clips out quicker? And basically what we said is, hey, you've already got all this content encoded. You covered him winning the gold medal live. It's part of a larger archive of the whole series of swimming events, but it's already there. So basically what we need to do is go into that archive, set a mark in and mark out, and basically send what essentially is an EDL down to the client so that it just jumps in, starts at a particular point, plays that clip, and then stops. And even better yet, we can string together multiple subclips into a full highlight that requires no transcode or conform or anything like that. So we can get a highlight to the web within seconds after he wins that gold medal. So as far as the basics of the video editor, the first and foremost thing is it's a web-based editor. And so that has all kinds of implications as far as decentralized video editing. Now, your video editors don't have to be sitting in a single location on an expensive video editing workstation. The output of the RCE can go in two different directions. We can take the output, which is an RCE project file. It's essentially an EDL. And we can take that to a traditional EDL for conform and transcode, kind of a traditional workflow. Or the other thing we can do is transform it into what's called a composite composite manifest. But essentially what that is exactly what I said just a second ago. It's an EDL that we then conform on the client. So it's just a small XML file. You stick that up on your video origin, and the clients consume that directly and stitch together the clips for you. Generally how it's used is it'll be integrated into the CMS. So as the editors are working in the CMS, they'll just pop up the RCE or the video editor, set their mark in and mark out, and then save the manifest directly back into the CMS. We can do a number. I'm sorry?
I should remember what it is,
but
what's an EDL?
An EDL is an edit decision list. Yeah, yep. Yeah, and so there's a number of other things beyond just video editing we can do. We can do ad insertion. We can add metadata like markers onto the timeline and stuff like that. But the most important thing is that it's a free extensible tool that's available to you. And later on I'll give you a URL to where you can go get it. So let's just jump right into a demo. What happened there? Okay. All right, so what you're looking at here is the CMS that we used during the Olympics, built by a company called Delta Tray. And what they have done is integrated the RCE directly into their CMS. So what you're looking at is basically a form for the editors to fill in information about an asset within the CMS. So what I've done, I've got this envelope of metadata. I've just basically given this new video a title, and I'm going to save it. And what that's going to do within their CMS is just enable a button called Open RCE. So it's going to directly launch the video editor right here within the CMS. And I'm going to gloss over a lot of different things, but I just want to show you the basics here. So I'm going to grab a couple of what I would call master assets or mother clips. These are full archives that I'm going to bring into my media bin. And if I switch over here and play them, so what I'm looking at here, this is a smooth stream that we're playing back. So again, we're just taking the archives of the events that have already been encoded. So I'm actually using the smooth stream that already lives in the cloud, and I'm going to edit against that. So I'm just going to leap in here somewhat randomly and pick a couple of points, set a mark in, set a mark out, drag that onto the timeline, and I'll just do that with one other clip. Again, somewhat randomly select a mark in and mark out. Great. So now I've got a sequence here that I built that has two subclips in it. A couple other things I can do. I can dress it up a little bit, add some branding to it, and some transitions between those clips. So I'm going to go in here to my interstitials, and let me just add a kind of a pre-roll onto that, and I'll add a kind of an interstitial, and then just a tail onto it. Okay. So the last thing I'm going to do is just add like I said, we can add metadata to this timeline. So I'm just going to add a little marker here that basically says this is where that second clip is in my timeline. Okay. And what happens to that metadata is it actually just gets written into the RCE project file or the video editor project file, and then it becomes what we call a sparse track within the composite manifest. And that's how it gets delivered to the player. Okay, so that looks good. That's basically all I wanted to do there. So I've hit save, and again, that's just saved out a project file. And what I'll do is I'll just jump back into the CMS and hit preview on that clip, which is going to launch the site. And so again, what has happened here, here's the pre-roll that I inserted. There's the first clip that I created. So again, I've got these full archives of the hockey game. I basically just set mark in and mark out points on those archives, and I've stitched together a highlight using those archives. So if I just jump, here's the marker I inserted, saying that's where the second clip starts. And there you can see the transition that I put into it, and then the jump into the second clip. Yep. All right, let's jump back into the slides. All right, so I'm doing pretty good, about halfway through. So let's get into what's coming in the next version. So I guess a little bit more about how we build the video editor. We use a company called Southworks, and I think I saw Tim walk in, that does our development on the video editor. And so the first version was primarily built for the Olympics. And through that work on the Olympics, we gathered a lot of input on how to make it better. There were a number of different things that the editor used. As with any project, the first time that people really pick it up and intensively use it, they discover all the flaws. And so we got lots of good feedback on that. So we've taken all that, and we've put together a plan for what we want to do with the second version. And we've already started on that development. In fact, we've already got an alpha V2 that I'll point you to in a few minutes. But here's the basics of what we want to do with V2. One of the biggest pieces of feedback that we got on the video editor was that the editing process was just a little bit too slow. And there's a couple of different reasons for that. One of the primary ones is that because we are working against source material that lives in the cloud, and thus we're actually pulling it from the cloud remotely rather than a traditional workflow where you might have a proxy that's sitting right there on your local network, is that there can be some latency on pulling down that. So that's part of the ballistics improvements, and I'll show you in just a second. And then the other part is some things that editors just expect when they're working with a video editor. You know, as far as keyboard shortcuts and things like that. Another thing is that what we heard consistently is it's fantastic that we can make these quick cuts and we can get things to market really quickly, but our business depends on upping the production value, so those clips are really compelling. So we have a number of things planned in that regard. Number one is support for multiple audio tracks. So the ability, like with that clip that I just showed you there, all we have on that is ambient audio from the arena. So what they would like to do is be able to add in a music track, add in a voice commentary track, and layer those in, rubber band them, add transitions, and all that kind of stuff. So we've got some of that work done. The next thing is that there's following along with that feedback that we got from all the broadcasters in using the video editor, there's definitely some usability improvements. And kind of following along with what I mentioned as far as the ballistics, a lot of that comes from these video editors spend hours and hours over years working with specific video editors, and they kind of expect certain patterns. So we're going to do some work with the video editor to get it to meet those patterns so that it's more familiar to video editors. And then the next thing is we're going to work on building transformations from the RCE to probably the EDL spec AAF, but we could use just about any of them. And a thing to note on that is that what I showed you here as far as when I took that clip and I built it in the video editor and then I hit save, what we did is a transformation to that CSM that I talked about, the composite manifest. And so what we're going to do, we provide that transformation to the community as well. And I'll point you to that. We're going to build that RCE to EDL transformation as well and make that available to the community. And then again, more towards upping the production value, the clips that you can produce, we're going to do some things like adding the ability to add graphic overlays. And that can actually, we have a partial implementation of that right now that I'll show you here in just a second. And then also some video and audio transitions as well. All right, so let me just jump in. And instead of talking about it, I can show you. So here is the V2 version of the video editor. And so the first thing, let me just grab a couple of these clips just like I did before, and I'll just add them into the media bin. And before I get started, let me just show you a couple of quick things here in my settings that are new with the V2 version. So the first one is the min and max bitrate that you see there. Smooth streaming is a fantastic video delivery technology, and one of the fantastic things about it is its ability to move up and down and adapt to changing bit rates or changing network conditions. That's great for end-user delivery, not so great for video editors. They expect to see a consistent quality as they move across the timeline. And so one of the things that we've done here is allowed you the ability to set the range of bit rates that you want the video editor to move between as you're editing, or lock it to a single bit rate, which is probably the more common scenario. So you can say, hey, I want to have this consistent level of quality throughout the editing experience. So that's an important thing as far as the ballistics. The second thing, and I'll show you this a little bit more clearly in just a second, is that, again, because the video editor is pulling content from the cloud, we wanted to, again, improve the kind of the consistency of that delivery. And so one of the ways that we have done that is that we've implemented a double buffer within the RCE. I got to get used to saying video editor. Within the video editor. And what that basically means is that as you're pulling content down, we're caching it locally so that if you hit that piece of content again, you don't have to go back out to the cloud. So this is all about allowing you to do instant seeks and have a good performance when you're viewing your timeline. Okay? And then the last thing that fits along with that as far as ballistics, again, is now we're allowing you to define your own keyboard mappings. So we'll have the ability, the one we have right now is the video editor keyboard mapping, but you'll also be able to define, say, a Final Cut Pro or an Avid or anything else as far as a keyboard mapping. So the video editor will be able to go in here, select whatever is their favorite keyboard mapping, and we'll just adapt to that. Or if they want to build a custom keyboard mapping, we can do that as well. Okay, so that's that. Let's go back to our media bin. And I'll play one of these clips. So as I play this, one of the things to note is under that playhead right here, what you'll notice is there's a little blue bar. And basically, that's an indication of our buffering. So everywhere where you see a blue bar, that means that we've cached that content locally. So as you're playing the contents, you'll see the size of that buffer grow. The other thing, and again, this is towards allowing the video editors to create their clips as quickly as possible. You'll see we have the little thumbnail previews that we generate as they move their mouse over the timeline. So let me just go ahead and, again, kind of randomly set a mark in and mark out again. And drag that clip onto the timeline. All right, so that's some of the ballistics. Let me talk about multiple audio tracks now. So let me just add this audio clip. It's an audio-only clip into my media bin. And just so you know what it sounds like in relation to that video, let me just go ahead and play it. This is the audio-only clip that I'm going to add to the timeline. Let me just go ahead and grab that, add it on into track two of my sequence down here. And I can go ahead and just shorten it there. Okay, so again, another thing that I mentioned earlier is I've got this, now I have these two audio tracks. I have the audio track that came down with the video, and now I've added a secondary audio track, which has basically some voice commentary. One of the things that I can do to manipulate that is I can actually expand this And let me just blow up so we can get a little better view of this. I can actually rubber band that audio track, and I can rubber band either one of the audio tracks. So let me just add a point on the timeline and just drag that down so it makes it really obvious when I play it back. So if I hop back here and play it. So now what you should hear is
this
the
is Scott Allen from
ignore the little bug that we obviously have a little bug there we have to fix, but
this is John Gallo.
So now what you're hearing is both the audio from the skiing and the audio from the secondary audio track that I added.
Hi, this is John with the Quick Announcement.
And what I can do is I can either rubber band those audio tracks or I can just set a global volume to them. And we have somewhat of a channel control here as well, in that I can just set basically one audio track to hard left and the other one to hard right to set the channel, the two different audios. Okay. All right, so a couple other things. Again, I talked about the graphic overlays a little bit earlier, and this is just kind of an initial cut at that. We're going to go a little bit farther with it. But here I have the ability, I've got, these are XAML overlays. So I can basically just go in here and say, hey, this is skiing. And I don't know, my name's Jason. And basically I can define that overlay and just drag it down onto my timeline as well. That's a bit longer than I wanted it. Define how long I want it displayed and where on the timeline. And then you'll see this again as I play. It'll. Oh, I don't know why it's jumping around like that. But there you can see the overlay appear. So that's the first part of overlays, and we'll go a little bit farther with that as far as allowing you to define your own custom XAML overlay. Probably also do some stuff, some additional stuff that allow them to be dynamic and things like that. So that's about all the time I have. Let me just jump back out of this really quick. We'll go back to the slides. And let me just point you to... where you can get it. So as far as my call to action, the one thing I would just say is... start to think about, obviously, the rough cut editor or the video editor is primarily a rough cut tool, but in some cases, rough cuts are adequate. You don't need all the craft type edits that you would normally produce on an Avid or a Final Cut Pro. So start to think about the places where you could use a rough cut tool like this. Our V1 SP1 is available today, so you can go out and download it today. And integrate it into your CMS. And then you can also download the V2. So everything I just demoed here as far as V2 is also available in an RCE drop. So you can open that up, kick the tires, give us some feedback, and go ahead and send your feedback directly to me. There's my email address. And that's all I got. So thank you. So like I said, I can stick around for questions as long as you want. There's nobody else moving in here, so. So the question was, will this be a replacement for Final Cut Pro? And definitely not. So this is, we're a web-based editor, which very much limits what we can do. For instance, having audio meters and, all that kind of stuff is just not possible for us. So what we're trying to do is stretch the bounds and do as much as we can within that context, but we'll always be basically a rough cut editor. Yeah. Anyone else? Go ahead.
Is it basically a Silverlight component that you could include in a much bigger UI of some sort?
Sure. Yeah, so the question was, is it basically a Silverlight component that you could build into a much bigger UI? And absolutely. So everything that I showed you there is a Silverlight component.
Now, how many methods and properties and whatnot are exposed at the moment, or all of them?
Well, you have the whole... So the question was how many methods or components are exposed. So you have all the source code.
So you could basically drive it.
Yeah.
Could you auto-create a clip? For example, if you knew where you already wanted to edit things, could you bring it up, go ahead and create several little excerpts, say, based on metadata you already had?
Yep.
So
Right. So the question was, could you basically auto-populate a project file,
yeah.
which is the way you would do that? Absolutely. So what we do at the beginning of that, you probably didn't notice, but when I opened it up, I had a folder full of interstitials. So we basically have a default project type for NBC that had their interstitials. So we'd pre-populated their project to just have those interstitials. You could certainly pre-populate it to have specific cuts and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm sorry,
so
go ahead.
If I understand correctly, you guys don't do any kind of re-encoding. It's just a composite file.
It's two different ways that you can go with the output. You can either go to an EDL for conform and transcode. So you could take all those ins and outs
okay. And
run them through a conform and then a transcode, kind of a traditional workflow.
Okay.
The way that we used it for the Olympics is we took the RCU project file and transformed it into a composite manifest, which is a manifest for smooth streaming. So essentially, we're doing the conforming on the client is what we're doing at that point.
And you can do all of the audio levels and all of that stuff in the composite file? Because you were changing
right.
the volumes of audio,
right.
and you guys are going to do transitions
right.
and all of that stuff.
Right.
Is that
yep.
taken care of by custom libraries in Silverlight on the
right.
client side?
So that's yet unknown. There's two different ways we can do that. We can either get platform support in the smooth streaming client to do some of that, or we can bake it into the video player. And so what we would have is a metadata track within the composite manifest that says, at this point in the timeline, take your volume to this level, and this point, take your volume to here.
Yeah.
Not quite sure which direction we're going to go. We're working with the smooth streaming team to figure out which direction we're going to go on.
But the goal is purely Silverlight clients supporting playback, right?
Yeah.
Not HTML5 video or anything like that.
Oh, it certainly
unless
could.
Unless you do the
certainly could in
to
future.
Straight out H.264 output.
Yeah.
Right?
Certainly could in the future. Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's the license to use this? Is it, can you free use it in your own applications? Or
yeah, so the question was about licensing, and yeah, it's a completely open source, no license. I mean, yes, there is a license, but there's not a cost to the license. Yeah. Yeah.
The extensibility, is that just based on the fact that you have all the source code?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, so the question was as far as extensibility, and like I said, you have all the source code. We have some built-in as far as how you integrate with the video editor. There is some built-in interfaces. So, for instance, the interface with the CMS, there's defined interfaces for as far as the web services that it expects on the CMS side to be able to query the CMS for the assets that are available, and then also the way that it saves its project file back into the CMS. So there are defined interfaces for that, but again, you have all the source code, so if it doesn't meet your needs, then you do something else. Yeah. Yep. Yep. You bet. Yep.
Two things. One, could you put up the last slide?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And secondly, I saw the ability to put markers in. I think that's great.
Uh-huh.
Could you give us the ability to put stem scripting in there as well?
But yeah. Yeah. Well, let me just jump back in, because we actually do that in the Olympic scenario. So if I jump back in here and go back, we do it a little bit differently. I'll try to do this very quickly. So those markers are essentially captions as well. And there's an event, there's basically an event that gets fired when you get to that point in the timeline. So if I take one of these assets, I add it to my media bin, open it up, set a mark in, set a mark out, drag it onto my timeline, go here and say, okay, marker guys hitting each other. Okay, and I save that out. And now I go back here and I preview it. And this is essentially what you're looking for. What we do is That becomes what we called in the Olympics play-by-play information. So it's a marker on the timeline. That's how one of the ways we chose to display it. But the other way is you could display this kind of what is a closed caption window, but we called it play-by-play window. And so if I come here and I just play through that point in the timeline, you'll notice that when I get to that point in the timeline, it'll be displayed as essentially like a closed caption. Guys,
I just think we might suggest maybe extending that.
Yeah.
So that we can use the reinvestment of that screen by now.
Yeah.
We've talked about putting animated sort of like graphics and graphics over the top of the video.
Right.
So if the user goes in and actively,
yeah. Right.
Very high resolution stuff.
Okay.
You can find a lot of uses
for that. Okay. So yeah, the one thing I would just say to wrap all that up is that. There's really nothing in the video editor that ties you to any one way of doing that. If I go back to the video editor itself, a lot of this is customization that was done specifically for the Olympics. So you'll notice if I go in here, the other thing that I could do here is add an ad insertion point right there. And that is all kind of specific to how ad insertion was done for the Olympics. So what gets done is you can have any arbitrary XML that you insert into the RC project file and then gets translated into the composite manifest. So you can define your own XML schema that you want to insert. And then on the client, basically what Smooth Streaming delivers that piece of that XML blob to you, and then you can define what you want to do with that XML blob. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have any plans to support source material in different formats other than Smooth Streaming?
So the only thing that we can consume is what Silverlight can consume. So, you know, MPEG-4. Oh, sure. You can't create. Say that again?
CSM
for WMV. Yeah, so the question is you can't create a CSM for WMV. No. Yeah. Can't. That's unique to Smooth Streaming. No, you wouldn't be able to. You'd have to, if you're sourcing from WMVs, you'd probably have to output an EDL and do a conform and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I suppose the one thing you could do with a WMV, if you had it hosted on a Windows Media Server, you could create a client playlist or a server playlist. You might be able to do that, take the RC project file and convert it into a playlist. Yeah. 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 Yeah, go ahead. Say the first part again, I didn't get it. Oh, no. So the question is there a restriction at the point at which you can edit? No. The only thing I say is we're not really frame accurate because we don't reference frames in Silverlight, but we're very precise as far as the time codes that we use. And if you know anything about Smooth Streaming, we use 2-second fragments, but we can set our cuts within those 2-second boundaries. So it's just, you know, we describe very precise time codes. So. Pretty accurate. Yeah? Any other?
You say this was with live streams as well.
Yeah.
Can you be editing as things are being.
Exactly. Yep, so the question is can you edit against live streams? And yes, yeah.
So, I mean, the problem you've got in mind rest of the question about the WMV is we've got like times out. I mean, code into the WMV and then I'm just going to require my smooth streaming code, isn't it?
Right.
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 Well, kind of a hybrid solution, possibly,
Right. So you're, I'm just trying to figure, what are you going to edit against in the video editor?
Well, that's it. So I'm trying to, so instead of the live source being a camera feeding you a, you know, a video, the live source would be the file, the address file of the
Okay. I don't think you're going to be able to edit against a growing WMV.
Right.
Though
you, no, but they,
yeah.
Yeah. So you take an MXF file.
Yep.
Stick it into expression encoder.
Right.
Set that up as a live.
Oh, is it a live feed?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I suppose you. I mean, one of the things that we've essentially our smooth stream here is a proxy, because it forms a low res proxy. You could generate a smooth stream as a proxy to edit against. Yeah. Any other questions? No? Oh, that's something we will be doing. I don't know why we use the logo there instead of as a frame. There's support within the video editor for doing that. I'm not quite sure why we did that. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you have a visualization on that timeline that has multiple audio or something like that where you have like multiple POVs and camera angles? Kind of like what Sony Vegas Pro.
Right. So you're talking about multiple video tracks within, no.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Well, what we hope to do, which is I didn't mention that on the stuff that we're working on for V2, but. So we continue to work with NBC, and one of the properties they have is Sunday Night Football, and I don't know if you've ever seen that, but they have multiple camera angles, a cable cam, end zone cam, star cam, et cetera. So what they end up with is they end up with a single smooth streaming publishing point that has all those different camera angles in it. So what they've asked us is the ability to basically bring that asset into the rough cut editor and then stitch together, you know, imagine watching a series of plays that starts from the cable cam and then goes to the star cam, and then so what we will also have support for multiple audio tracks, so as you're editing the video you could select the audio track that you want to bring down to the timeline, so it'd be somewhat analogous to that, if that answers your question. Yeah, let me just go back there really quick because he was waiting. Done on the client side. Yeah. So basically what we're doing is we're opening up a little media element and jumping to that point in the timeline. And that's all we do. Yeah. Go ahead. Okay. So the question was, could you have like a pitcher in pitcher display multiple, and help me understand the scenario a little bit. Right. Oh, so you want to define a pitcher in pitcher with like an overlay. Oh, no, right now we can't. No. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Anyone? Yeah. Yeah, the transitions that we're going to do, basically the transition we're going to do is a fade out and a fade in. Because any kind of, like he's saying, a crossfade or a dissolve or anything requires us to play, we're basically compositing on the client, which is very, very hard to do across hundreds of thousands of clients, right? So the only thing we can really guarantee that we can do consistently is just take a single video, fade it out, and then at the next one, fade it in. So then we're not playing two different videos at the same time on the client. Yeah. Now that's, again, that's for the path where you go from the video editor directly to the web with the CSM. If you want to go to an EDL and you're conforming, then sure, that would be possible. You could describe that transition, and then as you do the conform, it could build that more complex transition. But we just, as far as you're going to go directly to the web, then we kind of have the constraints of what we can do reliably on the client. Okay, all right, thank you. Yep.